This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. A small leak in a pipeline running through Michigan's Upper Peninsula released an unknown amount of natural gas into the atmosphere. Recently, state officials say that the leak came from a pipeline owned by Enbridge Energy, the company whose pipeline ruptured in 2010 near Marshall, spilling hundreds of thousands of tar sands oil into the Kalamazoo River. The latest leak has raised new concerns about pipeline safety in Michigan. NY Woody is state director of the Michigan chapter of the Sierra Club. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Gordon. I appreciate it.
How concerned should the public be about this latest leak?
I think the leak is just another reminder that we have a 61-year-old pipeline that's crossing the Upper Peninsula, crossing the Straits of Mackinac, the Lower Peninsula, and heading into Canada under the St. Clair River, that has never gone through any comprehensive environmental review, and that is, while they caught this so-called pinhole leak, it is hard to have confidence that this pipeline is actually safe or that it will remain safe indefinitely. And I think the residents of Marshall and those who live along the Kalamazoo River understand better than anyone else in the state of Michigan that assurances that a pipeline is safe can't be taken at face value. It has to be thoroughly investigated. The public needs to have a chance to understand the full implications. And the real question is whether this kind of pipeline is appropriate, particularly across the Straits of Mackinac at all.
If not across the Straits of Mackinac, where do you put a pipeline where it would not present some sort of public health risk if it were to rupture?
Well, the first step that I think we in Sierra Club and many of the organizations that are asking for a thorough review of this think needs to happen is the question of whether, in fact, we need to be pumping so much oil into this region at all, whether we should instead be moving much more aggressively towards renewable energy and reducing our consumption of the oil that's coming through these pipelines. As was learned in the case of the spill in Marshall, there's the local effects of a spill can be devastating, but the mining of the tar sands that is happening in Alberta, and it's not clear whether tar sands are coming through this line 5, which is the one that's running through the UP and into the Lower Peninsula, whether those are tar sands or coming from just regular crude oil. The environmental impact of these mining operations, these drilling operations, the processing and the burning of the fuels are devastating. And this is the time for us to be reconsidering whether, in fact, we should be creating an opportunity for the use of more fossil fuels or not moving forward with coming up with alternatives. So I go back before the question of where the pipeline should run and ask the question of whether we need this oil to be running through here.
But I guess there's going to be, at least for the foreseeable future, oil coming through this part of Michigan. Is there a place to put pipelines that would be better than through the Straits of Mackinac, better than the Kalamazoo River? I mean, is there any place that you think would be more acceptable for an oil pipeline?
That's a really hard question to answer because there are a number of other pipelines in this region and some new ones being proposed in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and into Illinois. And certainly, we're very conscious of the Great Lakes and the concern about the Great Lakes. So any tributaries into the Great Lakes raise tremendous concerns. But there are no really good places to put pipelines that have the potential to cause spills. And one of the other things that really needs to be looked at is are the designs that are being used adequate to protect wherever they're put? And that's one reason why this line, like the 6B line, which was just replaced only after the spill occurred, after the devastation occurred, that are they adequate to meet even the minimal standards that should be there for protecting the environment? Do we know if their systems for monitoring are adequate? Obviously, that was the major problem with the line in Marshall, that detection occurred and no action was taken. So while we see an enhanced concern at this point and identification of a leak in a weld, which raises concerns right there because there will be a lot of welds on these, we don't have a clear assurance. We don't have a public discussion where the public has a chance to learn and know enough about what's in the designs of these to feel confident. And I think even though there's no good place for a pipeline, I think there's no one who would think that placing this pipeline or keeping this pipeline across the Straits of Mackinac makes sense. It is considered to be one of the most vulnerable places to have put such a large pipeline like this. The examination of water currents and this connection between two of the largest lakes in the world that are freshwater and provide for drinking water and fisheries really has to be called into question. And I think when it was put in 60 years ago, no one was thinking about those issues.
Is that another issue, the fact that the pipeline is 60 years old? Should we be allowing pipelines to reach that age before they get replaced?
Right. I think that that is another question. And one of the things that Sierra Club has been seeking is for environmental review to occur of both where the pipeline is, where it's located, as well as the potential that it could cause problems. And it crosses not just the waterways, but it crosses public lands, including federal public lands. And the Huron-Manistee National Forest in the northern Lower Peninsula has a significant stretch of the Line 5 pipeline across it. They've just been going through a re-permitting of the pipeline, and we asked, has there ever been an environmental review done of this pipeline, and asked that there be one conducted. And at this point, the Forest Service is not willing to proceed with that. But we think that's the kind of thing that ought to be happening now, because that would allow for the public to weigh in, allow for independent scientific sources, conservationists, people from the local communities to actually weigh in and have some kind of input as to whether the risk that this pipeline poses is something that we as a society are willing to accept.
Is part of that risk the idea that any pipeline, if you have enough miles of pipeline running through the Great Lakes or wherever else, that eventually one or more of them is going to leak, one or more of them is going to rupture? I mean, is that part of the risk calculus that you're talking about there?
Oh, yes. It absolutely is. And the National Wildlife Federation and others have done extensive documentation about the leaks that have occurred throughout this region. And there have been many that were not as big as the one in Marshall, but did have local devastating impacts that have not been drawn to public attention. And I think the question isn't whether there will be a leak. The question is when and where. And that's why the risk issues really have to be thoroughly weighed. It's why a pipeline that crosses the Ausable River, the St. Clair River, and goes through, you know, many other waterways really has to be very carefully studied, not just because it crosses the Straits of Mackinac, but because at each of these locations, the potential for irreversible harm to the environment and to public health is a great concern.
The news release, which was put out by your group, the Sierra Club Michigan chapter, after this leak was discovered and was made public, said that this small leak should serve as a wake-up call. What would responding to this small leak in a way that showed that people were taking it seriously, what would that look like?
There are a few things. Again, the environmental review that we've called for is something that we think needs to happen along the full length of the pipeline. And that means looking at all the risks, looking at the actual pipeline itself, whether there's need to begin to replace or remove it, and also provides for the public to have input. There's a task force that's been put together at the state level, and we are part of the Oil and Water Don't Mix Coalition, which is asking the state to thoroughly examine whether it's meeting its duties under state law to protect the Straits of Mackinac in particular. And that's something that is happening, unfortunately, in sort of a behind-the-scenes setting. The meetings are not public, and only invited testimony is being sought. Certainly that ought to be opened up to the public, and a robust public discussion about the state's role ought to be occurring. And we think we need to be seeing Enbridge and any other pipeline company being held to an extremely high standard. It's good that they caught this so-called pinhole leak, but what's the status of all the other welds that may have similar leaks that may not have been identified?
Do you believe that there are many other places in the state right now which are at risk of some sort of a pipeline rupture or leak?
I think what we learned with the Line 6B rupture in Marshall was that when that happened, suddenly it became apparent that there were many more problems in that line that had the potential to eventually rupture. There were many dents, many bumps, et cetera. And only after a disaster occurred did Enbridge move forward with actually acknowledging those problems and beginning to replace the pipeline. So I think the lack of knowledge is probably the worst thing here. This is not a situation where ignorance is bliss, because as we learned along the Kalamazoo River, the costs of ignorance are extremely high.
Ann Wywoody, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Ann Wywoody is State Director of the Michigan Chapter of the Sierra Club. Beginning January 5th, you'll have another opportunity to hear West Southwest on Mondays and Thursdays. In addition to our 9:30 broadcast, we'll have a replay at 3:30 Monday and Thursday afternoons on 102.1 FM. You can always find interviews and more from West Southwest at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.